Why don't you all stand, lift your hands, and spin around? No, I'm just kidding. Just stand up, greet one another in the name of the Lord. We are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 this morning. We've actually made it into chapter 3. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Please open your Bibles and join me there. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would call your people here this morning to prayer. I ask, Lord, that every single Christian here this morning would experience a renewal in their heart for prayer, a hunger for prayer. I pray that our prayer lives would be alive, active, vibrant, healthy, consistent. For Lord, we are convinced that you work through prayer. And there's so much that can be accomplished through the prayers of your people. So encourage us to that end this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My family received the most amazing answer to prayer last December, when we were visiting Kim's family up in northern Colorado over the New Year's Day holiday. This was just one of the most amazing things that's ever happened in my life. I have a friend in the ministry. His name is Pete Nelson. He's a good friend of mine. We went to high school together. He is a gifted evangelist, a gifted musician, a gifted pastor-teacher. I've known him for a while. I went to high school with him. Kim got to know him very well, and his wife were good friends with their family. A couple years ago, Pete's family went through some very, very difficult times, and we sort of lost track of him. I lost touch with him. I'd heard that perhaps he had moved up into the Colorado area, but I just wasn't sure where he was. So last December, when we're driving up to northern Colorado, Kim and I were talking about, boy, we'd sure like to reconnect with Pete. It'd be neat to see how he's doing. And Kim and I actually prayed on the way up, Lord, if it be your will, help us to find Pete. Help us to reconnect with him. Now, this was not a fasting, you know, kneeling and fasting kind of prayer. This was just a real low-key. Kim and I were just sort of talking about that. So during that week that we were in Colorado, we stayed with some other friends for a little while. We spent some time with some other friends, and I took my three kids, and my friend took his two kids sledding. So we went snow sledding to this local school there in the area. Lots of snow that year. There was a big hill, and, oh, our kids went nuts. Just sledding. We had such a ball that afternoon sledding. Well, as we were leaving, my 9-year-old at the time, Lindsay, found a cell phone buried in the snow right off the beaten path. And I don't even know how she got to this, but she found this cell phone and she was so excited. Daddy, can I have it? Can I keep it? And we said, no, we need to find out who the cell phone belongs to. And so my friend looked at it, found the number in the address book for home, pressed send, nobody picked up. We left a message, hey, if you want your cell phone, you can call this number and we'll get the cell phone back to you. Later on that day, I looked at the cell phone again, and I noticed a name on it, Isaac Nelson. Now, Pete has a son by the name of Isaac. And I'm thinking, could this really be Pete's son? So I looked in the address book again, and I found Dad. And I hit send. And sure enough, Pete Nelson answered the phone. And I said, dude, you're never going to guess who this is. And he said, dude, you're right. And why do you have my son's cell phone? And I said, dude, this is Terry. We were in town. My 9-year-old daughter found your cell phone. And he said, dude, no way. What are the chances on that? My 9-year-old daughter from El Paso, Texas, finding Isaac Nelson's cell phone buried in a snowdrift up in northern Colorado. Do you think maybe the Lord wanted us to reconnect? He absolutely did. And we got in touch with one another, and we've been in good contact with each other ever since that time. I'm telling you, folks, prayer is amazing. God answers prayer. God hears our prayers. God answers our prayers, even low-key prayers. Prayer unleashes the supernatural power of God in your life. Prayer will open up opportunities in life that will blow your mind. God uses prayer to change all kinds of things, to make connections, to do His work. Oh, how we need to be praying. Oh, how confident we should be in prayer. Paul the Apostle was confident in prayer. As he begins to wrap up this second letter that he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he asks the church there to pray for him. Notice what it says in verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have the faith. So to that local church, Paul the Apostle says, pray for us. And I think that is a very noteworthy thing that Paul the Apostle would ask for prayer. Paul, as you know, was an anointed man of God, wasn't he? Paul was an amazing Christian. Paul was an amazing spiritual leader. Paul was an apostle. Paul was used mightily by the Lord. I think we could all agree that Paul was a heavyweight, right, in the Christian faith. And yet Paul didn't have the attitude of a heavyweight. He didn't have an attitude that sort of said, you know, I'm doing great, don't need any prayers. I'm anointed, I'm fine, I've got it all together, I'm an apostle. No, he didn't cop that kind of an attitude. Paul asked for prayer. Paul knew that he needed prayer. Paul knew that his success in the ministry depended on some measure, to some measure, on the prayers of God's people. So Paul was confident in it. He asked for it. Here he's pleading for it. In all of his other letters in the New Testament, you see Paul asking for Christians to pray for him. Brother and sister in Christ, we need to show that same confidence in prayer. Amen? You and I as Christians need to constantly be praying for others. And we should constantly be soliciting from our brothers and sisters in Christ prayer. And I'll tell you, I would ask you for the same thing that Paul asked from them. Pray for me. Pray for me regularly. Pray for my family. Pray for the leaders at this church. Pray for children's ministry workers. Pray for all those servants that are being used in mighty ways by the Lord. We need to cover one another in prayer. Pray for your Christian friends. Pray for your family members. You need to understand this morning, my brother and sister in Christ, that your prayers really do work. And your prayers are needed. God will impact things through your prayers. Some of you might say, well, I'm not really good at praying. I don't know how to pray. I haven't been a Christian long enough. You know what? Prayer is simply talking to God about stuff. Asking God to bless. Asking God to help people. Just pray. And this is a ministry that every single one of us as Christians can be involved in regularly and should be. God hears our prayers. God works through our prayers. Spurgeon said, "You cannot tell how much God's servants are helped by the prayers of his people. The strongest man in Israel will be the better for the prayers of the weakest saint in Zion." Pray. Paul was confident in prayer. Let's show that same confidence. Now, I want to take a very close look at Paul's prayer requests here in these first two verses. I think these are very important, and I think these really reveal what's going on in Paul's heart, and I think it really reveals what Paul saw as priority in his prayer life. Notice first what he prayed for, or asked for prayer for, concerning the word of the Lord. Verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly." Pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. Now, the word of the Lord would no doubt include the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the Christian faith, telling others how they might be forgiven of their sins, telling others how they might be saved, telling others that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son and died on the cross for the sins of the world, that many could be forgiven, many could be saved. That would be included in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord would also include Christian doctrine, Christian teaching. The word of the Lord would also include, I believe, the sound exposition of the Holy Scriptures. So that's what we're speaking about. And you should know and understand that this was something that Paul the Apostle was committed to. He was dedicated to this. Wherever Paul went, he preached the word of the Lord, didn't he? He preached the gospel message. He preached Christian truth. He preached Christian doctrine. He expounded on the Holy Scriptures. So I want you to understand this morning that this is something that Paul was going to do whether or not people prayed for him. Understand that. Paul's a preacher. He's going out and he's going to preach the word of the Lord. So he's not asking here, "Brothers, please pray that I might preach the word." No. That's a given. He's going to go preach. Instead, rather, he's saying, pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. In other words, pray that the word of the Lord would expand rapidly. Pray that the word of the Lord would go forth without hindrance. Pray that the word of the Lord would sprint from place to place. Pray that the word of the Lord would have complete freedom to do its life-changing work in the hearts of others. So Paul is saying, I'm going to preach, but I need some prayer support. I'm going to preach the word of the Lord wherever I go. I want you to pray that people's hearts will be ready. I want you to pray that the word of the Lord would go forth with no obstacles, with no barriers, with no hindrance. He's using race terminology here. He's saying the Bible, the word of the Lord, wants to race. It wants to sprint. Pray that there would be no obstacles. Paul is saying, pray that the spiritual bulldozer from heaven would clear out the path so that the word of the Lord might go forth in great power. May the word of the Lord run swiftly. My brother and sister in Christ, that is a noble thing to be praying for regularly. I want you to understand something here this morning, and all of us need to understand this as Christians. The proclamation of the word of the Lord needs to be covered in prayer. Soaked in prayer. Bathed in prayer. That has to be there. You know that there are some wonderful promises in Scripture concerning the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11 says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." That's a promise from the Lord. His word will not come back void. Psalm 147, verse 15 says, "He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly." So we see promises like that in the Scripture, but we might be tempted to think, okay, that's all taken care of. God's going to let his word go forth, and you know we don't need to worry about that. You know, God's word is going to go forth, but let's pray these promises. Amen? Let's pray that every single time the word of God is preached, let's beg, let's plead, let's ask God, let's cry out that his word would not return void. That his word would run swiftly. I want to challenge every brother and sister in Christ represented here, every brother and sister in Christ that might hear this message over the radio or over a CD, whatever. I challenge every one of us to be praying this regularly in our prayer lives. That the word of the Lord would run swiftly. If you are a Christian who is teaching the word of the Lord weekly, consistently, maybe in a pulpit, maybe at a men's Bible study or a women's Bible study or children's ministry or in whatever capacity, as you're preparing to teach, you need to bathe that teaching in prayer. And I would call on you to understand this morning that when you teach the Bible, it's not just communicating words and ideas. You need to see it as releasing, transmitting, unleashing the living Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that needs to be bathed in prayer, my friend. All of us here this morning, teachers or not, I challenge you to be praying this kind of a prayer regularly. I would challenge you in your regular time of prayer as a family or personal to pray this prayer, even in a general sense. Say, "Lord, may your word run swiftly. May it sprint from country to country, from city to city, from village to village, from neighborhood to neighborhood, from family to family, from person to person." Pray especially this kind of a prayer when you're praying for missionaries, for missions organizations. Maybe you have missionaries that you sponsor. Maybe you have pictures of them on your refrigerator. At least weekly, pray that the word would run swiftly through their ministry. I would ask that you would pray that for your involvement here in this fellowship. I would like people to be praying that every single time the Word of God is preached in this pulpit. Pray that for the kinship groups. Pray that for the men's ministry, the women's ministry, those leaders. Pray that the Word of the Lord would run swiftly right through the mouths of those little puppet guys. Right into the hearts of children. I think one of the ministries at our church that I'm so excited about is our Summons radio broadcast. How incredible to know that we can preach the word to El Paso and Las Cruces and now live on the internet. And the Summons radio broadcast is also being broadcasted in Belize, right there in Central America. And how cool it is to know that the word of the Lord is being broadcast. But you know what? That effort needs prayer support. It needs prayer coverage. That the word of the Lord would run swiftly, would go free without any hindrance. You know, some of you here listen to other preachers on the radio, or you're involved in other ministries. You listen to other tapes, or you listen to CDs by other men of God who are preaching the word. Are you praying the same thing for them? For every single thing that we're involved in, we need to pray that the word of the Lord runs swiftly. And I would also ask that we would be praying consistently that God would remove the barriers, the opposition that rises up in people's lives. We would pray against the work of the enemy in a person's life that keeps them from hearing the word of God. Let's pray that the word of the Lord runs swiftly. Amen? Then notice what else he prayed concerning the word. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. Pray that the word of the Lord would be glorified. The idea here is pray that the word of the Lord would be honored, would be elevated, would be cherished. Now, I think there are two implications to what Paul is asking prayer for. Paul is going to preach the word, and Paul clearly honored the word. He's a preacher who is committed to the word. But he's praying. He's asking those Christians, pray for me that I would continue to honor the word, that my speaking would be filled with the word of the Lord, that it would not be my own opinions, that I would not get off track. And then Paul would also be praying, asking them, pray that the word of the Lord would be honored and cherished in the hearts of those who are listening. See, this is a very important thing. Preaching is really a two-sided task. There's two parts to preaching, and both parts need to be prayed for. First of all, we need to pray for the one who's preaching, that the word of the Lord would truly go forth. But then we need to pray for the hearts of the people who are listening, that those who are receiving would receive the word and honor it, and cherish it, and glorify it, and be convicted that it is in fact the word of the Lord. So he says, pray that the word of the Lord be glorified. Now this is only going to happen if preachers and teachers and Christian leaders are actually preaching the word of the Lord. Amen? Christian pastors are called to preach the word of the Lord. Now, the way I see it, this is how I see it. I believe a Christian pastor should be preaching the Bible. teaching through the word of the Lord, proclaiming the Holy Scripture. See, I don't feel very safe if I'm up trying to preach things that I might come up with. And I shouldn't feel safe. I feel much safer just going through a text, going through a passage, proclaiming the word of the Lord. Preachers must proclaim the word of the Lord. They must honor it. I got to tell you, I think there's a lot of preaching going on out there that doesn't pass for good preaching. It's called preaching, but it's not. There's a lot of quote-unquote pastors, preachers, teachers, Christian leaders out there that are preaching, you know, philosophies of men, pop psychology, warm, fuzzy, feel-good types of sermons, self-help concepts, motivational speaking, and all kinds. And, you know, there are some preachers out there that will, you know, they'll say they're teaching the Bible, but they'll take a verse here and then say what they want to say later. And then they'll say, well, now let's go to another verse over here. But then they'll talk about other things. They don't systematically, they don't preach the Scripture. And it's fluffy. And in my opinion, it is a waste of time in the pulpit. And I'm being a lot nicer, I think, than one country preacher in the Deep South Texas Baptist Church who bluntly said, some pastors preach longhorn sermons. A point here, a point there, and a whole lot of bull in between. Woe to the preacher who gets in a pulpit and he's not ready. Hasn't prayed through it. Hasn't studied. Hasn't prepared. I was told very early on, if I'm giving a Bible study and 50 people show up and I'm not prepared, I've just wasted 50 hours of God's time. So the preacher himself must honor the word of the Lord. Amen? They must teach the Scripture. And then, even for the pastor who is preparing, even for the preacher who is studying and praying, that preacher needs prayer support. That he will be gifted and anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the word of the Lord. And again, I would pray, I would ask that you would consistently pray that for me as the pastor of this church. Cover this in prayer. And then I would call upon all of us as Christians to pray for the hearts of people who come to our services. Pray regularly that the soil would be ripe, that it would be ready, and that the word of the Lord would be able to plant deep within a person's heart. Amen? Paul asked that they would pray that the word of the Lord runs swiftly and that the word of the Lord would be glorified. And you know what? If we do that, if we make an important commitment to one another to be praying for that, I think the Lord will move mightily, don't you? I think we'll see some great things. Now, look at the second prayer request that he had. Now concerning opposition that he was experiencing. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith. We're not sure exactly what Paul was experiencing at this point. We believe that he wrote this letter when he was still in Corinth. But obviously, he's being harassed, Perhaps men in that city are threatening him. They're restricting his movement. Perhaps they're getting ready to kick him out of town or throw him in prison. They're hassling him, and Paul is basically praying, asking Christians to pray that he would be delivered from their opposition, rescued from their hassle, so that he, as a messenger, might be free to do the work of a minister. Entirely free. That's what he's praying for. There are two kinds of men that are mentioned there in verse 2. Pray that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, wicked, that's pretty easy to understand. And evil, wicked men are always going to be there. And they're always going to come into opposition to a messenger of God and the message of God. And so he's praying for deliverance from that. But he also prayed that he would be delivered from unreasonable men. Unreasonable men. Now, I think that's an interesting word. In the Greek, it's the word atopos, which literally means out of place. So he's saying, deliver me from out of place men. Now, it's sort of a mystery as to how Paul might be using that word here. Some say that he's speaking about perverse men, men who are living lives of perversity. They're out of place. And so that could be lumped in with the wicked who always give a hard time to the messengers of the Lord. But I personally believe that he is speaking about religious leaders here that are giving him a hard time. Religious leaders who should be firmly in place are out of place. And they're unreasonable. Because, you know, if you read through the life of Paul in the book of Acts and you read through his epistles, his strongest opposition came from religious leaders. And specifically in his case, the Jewish religious leaders. Paul was kicked out of synagogues. Paul was run out of town by Jewish religious leaders. Eventually, Paul becomes known as the apostle to the Gentiles because he's had such a hard time with the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders. John the Baptist had a hard time with the Jewish leaders too, didn't he? Who else had a hard time with the Jewish religious leaders? Jesus himself. Well, Paul ran into the same sorts of trouble with those guys. And so I think out of place would definitely refer to them. The very people who should know better, the religious leaders who should be in place, were out of place. And that is a very, very sad, sad thing to see. When the true messengers of the Lord are opposed by religious leaders. So Paul says, pray that I would be rescued from these men. And I love how he puts it, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. In other words, he's saying, not all have faith yet in the city. I've got a lot of work to do. And I am being hassled by wicked men and unreasonable men. Pray that they would be taken out of the way. Pray that I would be free to preach the word of the Lord and that the word of the Lord would be free to move and operate in a powerful way. This is what Paul's asking for. Again, I would ask for prayer that I would be freed up to continue in what the Lord has called me to do. Now, living in America, I don't have to worry about being thrown in prison yet. I'm in no danger of that, but I do want you to know that I am bombarded regularly by people that want to influence me, by people that want me as the pastor to begin going in a different direction, by people that want to distract me, by interruptions. And I would ask that you pray that I stay free and keep praying that I wouldn't be distracted and taken down bunny trails. You know, I'm approached all the time about the newest thing, the newest way to grow your local church. go through this campaign or that campaign, do this or do that, you know, have a, you know, bring a friend, get a cookie campaign. Let me ask you, why would I want to do that? Maybe you like cookies. But you know what the reward is for the person who brought a friend? A cookie. How about bringing people to church because you love them and you want them to come to Christ? And you're looking for a reward in heaven that's much greater than a cookie. And I got to tell you, I will be honest, it does happen consistently. I do experience a lot of opposition from religious leaders. I'll just let you know. Religious leaders that will give me a hard time, or, and you know, there's people that want to come and pick theological fights with me. I'll never forget the one night in the tent on a Wednesday night, right before the Bible study, a guy who was all dressed up in a suit and tie. He was a visitor, and I thought, boy, he really is a visitor, the way he's dressed, and we're in a tent. It was summer. But he was there with, you know, in a suit, and I just went up and said, hey, I'm Terry, and glad to meet you. Welcome to church. And he pulled out one of our pew Bibles, and he says, what is this? I said, what do you mean, what is this? This is a Bible. He said, New King James Version. The old King James Version is the only true Bible. You're a heretic. You're not teaching the truth. You're leading your congregation through heresies. This is not the true scripture. It's the new King James Version. This isn't even the NIV. Both of those Bibles. Folks, both of those Bibles are based on the exact same Greek text. And I tried to explain this guy. Well, I've got the Greek text in my office. Let's go look at that. You know, the King James Version isn't perfect either. It's very, very hard to translate out of Greek into English. You have two Bibles based on the same Greek text, and a few different words are changed here and there. But this guy's convinced I'm a heretic. He wants to fight me. That didn't work out so good. He left. And I didn't want to fight. And then there was the time, one guy, and I don't know where people have the time to do this, but there was a guy who came into my office and was convinced that Billy Graham was from the devil and brought with him a 650-page book trying to connect Billy Graham to different religious leaders and condemn him based guilt by association. And this guy wanted me to sit down and talk with him about why Billy Graham was, I'm not going to do that. Billy Graham's not from the devil. What are you, crazy? This was the same guy who heard Mike McIntosh on the radio mention Mother Teresa. Just very casually mentioned Mother Teresa. This got him upset. He wrote a 30-page, single-spaced document on why Mother Teresa should be avoided at all costs. I don't know what he was trying to think. He wrote this document. He gave a copy to me. He sent a copy to Mike McIntosh in San Diego. And he copied Chuck Smith in Costa Mesa. And I laugh to think that he actually thinks people are going to read that. I tried, all honest. I got through the fifth page, and that was it. And he wants me to have a week-long debate with him about Mother Tree. You know what? I'm not going to do that. That's a waste of time. You know what? Why in the world doesn't that person use all that energy? There's a lot of energy there. Why doesn't a person use that energy and direct it towards sharing the gospel with the unsaved. Amen? Rather than wasting a whole lot of time in debates among Christians. I mean, so I would ask that you would pray for me, that I would be able to stay free just to do what God has called me to do. Amen? To see what is a distraction, to avoid it. And I would pray the same thing for you. Pray consistently that you would be delivered from unreasonable men, from argumentative types of people who just want to waste a whole lot of time. Wow. Let me close with this. Notice, please notice with me, Paul's prayer requests, the spirit of them. Please notice that. Look what's important to Paul here. What's important to him when he asks Christians to pray for him? Things like ministry and the advancement of the kingdom of God, the preaching of the word of the Lord. That's what's important. Spiritual things were important for Paul. That's what he highlighted. That's what he counted on. That's what he asked for prayer for. And here he's asking that the Lord, the word of the Lord would run swiftly, be glorified, that he'd be delivered from unreasonable men, that he might be free to preach. In other of his letters, he prays the same kinds of things. That he would be an effective minister. In Colossians chapter 4, he says, pray for us that God would open a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul asked for spiritual help. Paul asked that God would bless the preaching of the word through his life. Now, he wrote those two prayers. He asked for those two prayer requests when he's sitting in prison. Now, most of us would say, we gotta pray Paul out of prison. Oh, Paul, he's in jail. Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's all get together and let's pray that he would be released from this prison. You know what? Paul didn't ask for prayer for that. Paul said, pray that I would preach the gospel well in prison. Pray that I would be an ambassador for Christ in chains. Point I'm making is this. Paul, when he asked for prayer, man, he asked for some pretty deep things, didn't he? He asked for spiritual things. His priorities were in, man, the word of the Lord going forth. I want to challenge all of us this morning as Christians. I want to call all of us to a deeper prayer life. You know, I see a lot of prayer request lists. And a lot of them look, I very seldom do I see a prayer request list that looks like this. Most of the times in our prayer request list, who do we pray for? What are we praying for? So-and-so lost their job. We need to pray for him. So-and-so is having a health issue. We need to pray for that person. So-and-so's aunt got hurt in an accident. We need to pray for that person. So-and-so this, so-and-so that. And you know what? I think we should pray about that. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says, bring all our requests before the Lord. And so we should dedicate time to praying for one another's needs. The Lord works mightily through those. But you know what? A lot of times that's where all the Christians in their praying stop. Right there at the physical level. You don't ever see Paul in any of his prayers saying, pray for this person's sickness or that, though we need to do that. What does he highlight on? things that are even much more important than that. The advancement of the kingdom. Let's add this to our prayer lives. Amen? And let's pray that God would move in a powerful way in the life of people through their trials. So yeah, let's pray that God would deliver them. Let's pray that God would help them. But let's also pray that God would use that circumstance to turn them into a mightier witness for Jesus Christ. And that that person would become to walk in a greater maturity level in Christ. And that God would use those circumstances in the advancement of His kingdom. Amen. Paul found prayer to be important. Paul asked for prayer. Paul had some very clear priorities in prayer. May we have the same. And of course, Paul believed in prayer because he had confidence in the one to whom Christians pray. Amen? Look how Paul shows so much confidence in the Lord as we just quickly finish off this passage. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. You see how much confidence Paul had in the Lord? Let's show that same confidence. Let's live that confidence in the Lord with our prayer lives. Paul said the Lord is faithful. Isn't that wonderful? That's my favorite characteristic about the Lord. He is faithful. He's reliable. He's dependable. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. If He makes a promise, He will keep it. He's faithful to hear your prayers. He's faithful to work in our lives, to establish us, to guard us from the evil one. Well, I really hope that this ignited a new flame in our hearts for prayer, did it? See how important prayer is? See what God can do through prayer? And see how there has to be this coordinated effort among all members of the body of Christ, the speakers and the prayers, all working together. I would invite you to pray. Pray not just for all the physical things, pray also for the spiritual things and the advancement of God's kingdom. As I close, I do need to share with you that prayer is a privilege only for those who are members of the family of God. You need to understand that. Prayer is only for children of God. So, you know, you have to be related to God. You have to be a member of His family. And that's only when true prayer can really take place, where God hears you and responds to you. Now, God hears all prayer, no doubt. But He responds to the prayers of His children. Only children of God can have direct communication with God in prayer. Perhaps there might be some here this morning who have not entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You've not embraced the gospel message. As always, I want to close with an invitation to provide you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is a prayer that God will hear when you're outside the family of God. The prayer that He will hear and respond to is the one where you invite Him into your life. Where you admit that you're a sinner, where you admit that you need Him. You place your faith and trust in Him. The Scripture says you will become born again. You will become a child of God. Your sins will be forgiven. You will enter into a relationship with God. And then, enjoy prayer. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Father God, I thank you first of all this morning that I can call you Father, Daddy, Abba. And Lord, we are so grateful that you have time to hear the prayers of your children, that you hear everyone, you listen, that you invite us, you command us, you say, pray, talk to me. God, I pray first of all that those of us who belong to you, that we would again be reminded of the tremendous privilege we have in being able to pray. And I pray that we would pray often, pray consistently. We want to cover one another in prayer. I pray that you would direct us into prayer. I pray that your Spirit would direct the very prayers we pray. And Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who maybe has not entered into a relationship with you. You know, you could be here this morning and you're sitting next to a person who has been praying for your salvation for years. Praying that the word of the Lord would run swiftly into your heart. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have not made that decision. You've been stubborn. You've been holding back. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ right now this morning. To open your heart wide to the gospel message. Let Him change your life. If you're here this morning and you need to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then I'd like you to raise your hand high so I can see it. Say, this morning is the day that I give my life to Christ. This is the day that I'm coming to Him. Is there anybody here in this service that needs to receive Christ this morning? You have an invitation right now to do so. Raise your hand showing that that's what you want. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let's stand. We will have counselors available to my right, your left, here in this prayer room. If you'd like prayer for any reason, if you'd like to talk about anything maybe that you need counsel with, we'd be glad to do that. Let's finish with the song, guys. Yeah.
bless you guys. We have a great week.